It's a fact. Americans are still spending, but they are now spending smart. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 18th day of August. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news, Wall Street was able to eke out a win today, but just barely. So here's a question for you. Is it cheaper to eat out? Well, the answer might surprise you, or maybe not. Looking for some August deals? We have a list of stuff to buy. EVs and tax credits. Yes, there have been some changes. We've got the Wall Street Report, and bosses are back at the office. But according to some, they're pretty lonely. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. I get to be with you each and every day talking about the business news headlines. A reminder that we're not done when it comes to Friday, because on Sunday at noon, we do Insight on Business, the News Hour Week in Review, only on News Talk 1540 KXEL. And you can come along for that as well. Hey, if you want to find us on Twitter, you can do that at IOB_NewsHour. One of the things that's perplexing so many economists is the fact that consumers in the U.S. are still spending, even in light of inflation numbers we've not seen for 40 years. While the talking heads have been predicting for months that the U.S. is headed toward a recession, it's clear we are not there, at least not yet. CNN is reporting that the July retail sales report made it clear that the U.S. consumer is rather more willing to spend than you might expect if you spend too much time wallowing in the misery of the recession-obsessed media. But remember, bad news does sell. That recession obsession has faded a bit over the past 10 days or so due to continued signs of labor market strength, falling gas prices, and hints that runaway inflation might be peaking. The latest weekly jobless claims out Thursday morning edged lower to 250,000. That's a sign the labor market is still strong. Meanwhile, falling gasoline prices have allowed consumers to spend those savings elsewhere, and they seem to be spending wisely. Walmart CEOs and others have said that consumers are trading down, focusing on necessities, less steak cuts, more low-cost chicken, hot dogs, and processed tuna. Many of the things they bought in the early days of the pandemic, like dishwashers, couches, all kinds of home accessories, well, they're not buying right now. And those things are being discounted like crazy. How do we know? Ask Target, which is also a good news for savvy consumers. Bank CEOs have said that on their earnings calls that checking accounts are still in good shape and household balance sheets are better than they were in the 2008-2009 crisis. And get this, Goldman Sachs this week said consumers have $2.2 trillion in COVID relief still in their bank accounts, ready to deploy. So, hang in there, America. The markets had a tough time most of the day, and while they were on track to close mixed, that's not what happened. The Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 all ended the day in the green, but not by much. Oil gained on the day, closing above $90 a barrel. Those numbers? I'll have those for you in just a bit. You know, the common wisdom is that if we eat out, we'll be spending more money than if we cook at home. But is that accurate? WCNC-TV looked at this, and the numbers are pretty interesting. For example, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, grocery prices rose over 13% in July compared to a year ago. Meanwhile, prices at restaurants rose only over 7% during the same time period. It is the largest gap between grocery stores and restaurants in about 50 years. But when you look a little bit closer, the price differences might be a bit misleading. Most of the average savings people are finding come from eating at fast food places. Higher-end sit-down restaurants will typically still cost more than at-home meals. Then there is the health factor. Yeah, sure, fast food may be cheaper, but saving dollars versus unhealthy food? So yes, you can still do better by eating home-cooked meals, and you can better budget if you're wise about it, if you're taking advantage of coupons and sales. Bon appetit. Okay, so let's say that you do have some cash lying around and you want to take advantage of some deals that are out there. We've got some good news and a list, by the way. Go Banking Rates took a look at what's going on at Walmart and rounded up some of the best deals to be had. Yes, we do have that list. Here we go. Dorm furniture is first on the list. You know, that fridge for under 100 bucks looks pretty good. How about cookware? As we cook more at home, right? There's an 18-piece set from Tramontina for about $45. Reusable stainless steel water bottles for less than 20 bucks. Now, for perspective, a set of Tramontina cookware goes for $300 at Williams-Sonoma. How about luggage? Roller luggage may be a good investment, and you can find smaller duffel suitcases for around 25 bucks at Walmart, and three-piece sets for as little as $35 as well. Now, luggage is infamously pricey. Duffel suitcases sell for as much as $300 at Target, while a three-piece set will cost easily over $100. Tech? Well, sure. Now's a good time to wander over to the tech aisle. Right now, printers at Walmart go for an average of 100 bucks or so. And then there are grills. 'Tis the end of the season, and no retail site wants to get stuck with an inventory of grills. So you can check those prices as well. And summer clothing. You know, we still have some warm weather ahead, so check out those sale racks for those summer clothing deals. And then finally, clearance sales. Some highlights include up to 40% off on patio and garden essentials, 50% off select outdoor pools, and up to 50% off bicycles. Hey, we're here to help. Well, we reported on this earlier, but recently I saw a video from a car salesperson who was sharing some misleading information about electric vehicles and tax credits. He was saying that he would not be able to offer a $7,500 tax credit after January. So what's real? Well, the new Inflation Reduction Act does make some changes. For example, the old credit offered $7,500 for new electric vehicle buyers until the automaker hit a $200,000 limit for available tax credits. Now, what's interesting is that $200,000 limit for vehicles is now gone. So buying now can put you in for the credit. While the Inflation Reduction Act's new credit immediately replaces the prior system and does remove that $200,000 limit, but it does create new restrictions that are being phased in related to assembly, batteries, and power chains. Plug-in hybrids will continue to be eligible for a partial credit. Now, the new law also imposes new restrictions on the price of vehicles, as well as the limits on the income of the buyer. The changes include vehicles must be assembled in North America. Much of their battery components and battery materials production must be in North America. Beginning in 2023, 40% of the critical minerals used to create a vehicle's battery must be extracted or processed in the United States or, now this is important, or in a country that has a free trade deal with the U.S. Under the new system, the MSRP of a pickup or SUV must not be over $80,000, and other vehicles like sedans must not surpass $55,000. And on income? Well, a buyer's income must not exceed $150,000 if single, $225,000 if head of household, or $300,000 if married. Now, there are some problems, because as of right now, there are few vehicles that will meet the new requirements. But the auto industry will be quick to change and source, and the new rules are also designed to create more jobs in the United States. So, if you've got the cash, now might be a good time to go buy that EV. It was a rocky day on Wall Street as the markets ebbed and flowed along the flat line, but in the end, the Dow was able to pick up 18 points to close at 33,999, and the NASDAQ was up by 27 points, ending the trade at 12,965. The S&P 500 picked up 9 points to close at 4,283. So what happened? Following a sizzling bull run that carried the S&P 500 index up by more than 17% from its mid-June lows, U.S. stocks look to be taking a breather as investors scrutinize the latest update on the Federal Reserve's plans for tightening monetary policy. Fed minutes from the July meeting when the Fed hiked its interest rate target by 75 basis points for the second month in a row reinforced the notion that the world's largest central bank isn't about to stop hiking interest rates anytime soon. Initial jobless claims, which showed that the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits decreased by 2,000 last week from a revised 252,000 during the first week of August. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Fed Index of Local Manufacturing Activity came in at 6.2. That was well above the FactSet consensus of minus 5. And later in the morning, data on U.S. existing home sales showed that they declined for a sixth month in a row. And finally, there is this. As companies increasingly push for a return to the office, managers are expected to lead by example. But, according to the Wall Street Journal, many white-collar bosses who have recently headed back into the office have found that they are the only person at a desk. Their underlings, meanwhile, are logging in from the beach or from a summer vacation home. Michael Cassisi, chairman of the international law firm K&L Gates, says that on one summer Friday, only a quarter of the seats in his Boston law office were filled. He went on to say, "Yeah, it's pretty lonely." Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.